This morning, we found out that Washington State Democrats got exactly what they wanted, capital gains tax, even though voters of Washington have shot this kind of stuff down 10 times in the past. The Washington State Supreme Court upheld it because they don't care about the law. They care about how much they can push the Democrat agenda because so many of them were appointed by Governor Jay Inslee. This is what you get with one-party rule in a state. Joining us now to break it all down and tell us exactly what this means for you and how it's not just about the rich people is Jason Mercier from the Washington Policy Center. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Ari, it's good to be on with you. And I'm sorry I'm not breaking good news. You know, last night when I heard this opinion was coming out, I was hoping I was going to be able to tell you that we have rejoined the ranks of states without an income tax. But unfortunately, in a 7-2 ruling today, our Supreme Court decided that Washington knows something that nobody else in the world knows, and that is how to tax income as an excise tax.
So here's what I don't get. Let's start from the beginning with this, because a lot of people who listen to the show may not necessarily understand what all this is. What is a capital gains tax as defined by the IRS?
Yeah, so there aren't any really standalone taxes on capital gains. If you look across the country, you have 41 states that have personal income taxes, and that taxes all forms of income. Wage, investment, capital gains are a part of those income tax calculations. And that's why when you go to every other state in the country, and you go to the IRS, and you go to other countries in the world, they will tell you the same thing. They're income taxes, because capital gains are income. You don't sell income.
Right.
Now, in Washington, why this definition mattered is because under our Constitution, we own our income. And if you own your income, it's property. And that means you can't have taxes on income in excess of 1%, and it has to be uniform. And this capital gains tax the legislature passed is 7% with a non-uniform base because of the exemptions. So that clearly then violates that property tax definition. And this is why when it passed and it went to the trial court, an Inslee appointed trial judge ruled it was an unconstitutional income tax. But the state was trying to make this argument, and today seven justices agreed that, no, it's not income. The rest of the world is wrong. This is a standalone tax on selling assets. It's an excise tax. But that's just not how this works in practice. That's not what's actually being taxed. And unfortunately, on April 18th, those subject to this tax now have to submit their federal income tax return along with all schedules and be taxed on this income.
Now, let me just read from the conclusion here. A tax is determined by its incidence, not by its legislative label. The structure of the capital gains tax shows that it's a tax on income resulting from certain transactions, not a tax on a transaction per se. Therefore, the tax is an income tax, not an excise tax. Under our Constitution and case law, an income tax is a property tax. As enacted, this income tax or capital gains tax violates the 1% levy limitation of Article 7, Section 2. That's from the dissenting opinion. That's pretty clear to me. What rationale did the justices use to pass this thing?
And that was the surprising thing about this opinion, because the dissent was very clear. It just pointed out what I just mentioned. It's a tax on income. You don't sell income, right? You can sell assets, and if you want to tax assets, that's called a stock transaction tax. You tax every time you sell something. If you're taxing only the income from those, prepare to be amazed. It's an income tax, and that's what the dissent pointed out. What the justices who were in the majority tried to say is, well, no, we're taxing all of those transactions, except you're not. You're not taxing transactions that are at a loss. You're not taxing transactions that are below the income reporting threshold, and that's why when you actually read the bill, the tax is applied to the income reported on your federal income tax return. I'm not sure why this was hard for those seven justices, but you know, at least two in the dissent understood that.
So this reminds me a lot of the $30 car tab thing where the Washington State Legislature said, where the Washington State Supreme Court said, nah, we don't care what the people say. We don't care the people voted for this. We want the money for sound transit. We want the money for the progressive agenda. Doesn't this have shades of that?
Well, it's a total redefinition of what a tax is. And I've been hearing all day long from my national tax context across the country, and you know, they don't have a stake in this. They're in total disbelief. They don't understand how the state of Washington can redefine what is clearly understood across the world. But that's where we stand. As of today, we are the only state on the in the country, we're the only tax jurisdiction on the planet with a standalone excise tax on income. Our court has ruled that's where we stand. And now the question is, well, what happens next? How is this tax going to be administered on April 18th when people have to pay it? Because it's collected and it's formed so differently than income taxes elsewhere in the country. Will there be a federal challenge? Will there be a ballot measure? Now the rest of the story will unfold.
Right, but if there's a ballot measure, I mean, the Washington State Supreme Court can just chuck it out again like they did with the $30 car tabs. We're talking with Jason Mercier from the Washington Policy Center about the fact that the Washington State Supreme Court today ruled that, yes, a capital gains tax can go into effect. Now, what does this mean for the average person? I mean, I think most people don't understand how this affects so many people across so many different spectrums and how the Washington State Legislature and Democrats will now use this to impose taxes on all of us, not just the high earners.
Well, the thing you need to keep in mind about this particular tax is it was not passed as a constitutional amendment, right? So those rates and those exemptions are not locked into the Constitution. And what do you consistently see happen? Well, you can use the sales tax as an example. Are we paying a 2.5% sales tax right now? No. That's what it was when it started. So the pressure on taxes over time is for those rates to increase and for those bases to expand, especially when you're taxing high volatile tax sources, and capital gains income are incredibly volatile. So if you're constantly trying to chase that dollar amount, the temptation is to raise the rate and lower the exemption bases. And this isn't theoretical. There was already a bill introduced this session that would have increased the rate from 7% to 9% and repealed the $250,000 exemption. So they've already indicated what will happen in the future with this particular policy. But beyond that, even though they didn't get what they ultimately wanted in this decision, because there was the real effort in this decision was not just on capital gains income, but on all income. They wanted the court to say that, no, you don't own your income, Washingtonians. So those 100 years of rulings restricting the graduated income tax without a constitutional amendment, those were all wrong, and the legislature can do what it wants now. The court did not do that today, but there was some rhetoric in the majority opinion indicating that, you know, if the right case got to them, they might.
And knowing the Democrats, what they'll do is they'll find the right occasion to do that so they can tax more people. So the tech bros are going to get hit by this because the capital gain tax allow them to have stock options. Who else gets hit by this initially?
Well, I do think you're going to have to see the impact on Seattle, because you indicated not only do you have the stocks options, but it is really heavy in that tech field. And then those that will have higher assets that they're selling. So the real mystery now will be what happens on April 18th, because I've already been hearing from CPAs across the country, because this is just so unique that this doesn't exist anywhere in the world, right? In other states, you're not paying a standalone tax on capital gains. You're paying an income tax, and people all know how to do that. Mm-hmm. With this ruling now, this is a standalone excise tax on capital gains income. And there's a lot of confusion about, well, how do we actually comply with that to make sure that we pay the tax on the 18th and don't get subject to any penalties for making mistakes? So now the real mystery will unfold as far as how this tax even gets administered.
Right, because what people don't realize is then the policy wonks who aren't elected by anybody are going to come up with how they actually administer this thing. And people keep saying, oh, well, your house is exempt from it and the other stuff is exempt from it. But you and I both know that's what they're going to go after first.
Well, here's the theoretical thing to look at down the road. But we know that we're entering a potential tightening economy, mm-hmm. right? And this tax was penciled in at $1 billion. So what happens if you do have a little hiccup in the economy and that $1 billion doesn't materialize? Is the temptation going to be to reduce spending or is it to increase the rates and lower the exemptions?
Right. And that's what I'm concerned about. And here's something else. They passed this thing when we had a budget surplus. They didn't even need the money. They just wanted the tax. They just wanted your money. Jason Mercier from the Washington Policy Center, you have been doing the yeoman's work on keeping all of us informed in all this. I use your material all the time because so many people in Washington State, including so many in the media, have completely ignored this issue. I really want to thank you on behalf of our listeners for keeping us all in touch. And if you don't follow Jason over on social media, especially over on Twitter, and follow the Washington Policy Center on their website, you most certainly should. Jason Mercier, I hope you have a wonderful weekend, my friend.
Great. Thank you, Ari. Have a good weekend.
Always a pleasure. I mean, I'm just looking at this thing, and I saw this article over on Shift Wa. A great website. If you haven't been there, check it out. It's about the eight times Jay Inslee promised not to raise taxes. In an interview with the Associated Press on April 20th, 2012, via Como News, Inslee said in an interview that he is focused on raising the state's revenue by encouraging economic growth.
This is the driving engine of revenue growth for state government. Foundational aspect of education funding for our state is getting 288,000 people back to work.
He also proposed no new taxes. At a campaign debate in Spokane on June 12, 2012, moderator, if elected governor, are you prepared to ask voters to support a new tax for schools? Inslee,
no.
Second time. At a campaign debate in Yakima on October 3rd, 2012.
Under my plan, it should not be necessary to address that issue because on my plan, we're not going to have to request additional taxes.
At a press conference following a debate on October 11th, 2012,
I would veto anything that heads the wrong direction. And the wrong direction is new taxes on the state of Washington.
At a campaign debate hosted by King 5 on October 16th, 2012.
And I don't believe the tax increases are the right route forward for our state.
As governor-elect at a press conference in Seattle on November 14th, 2012 via Crosscut. Three reporters challenged Inslee on the plank of his candidacy for governor each time he cited his campaign promise that the legislature can raise money to meet a Washington Supreme Court mandate to increase school funding by creating enough new jobs to generate more state revenue and without raising taxes.
I think economic growth is the best way forward.
In an interview with Fox 13 on November 5th, 2012, back when they were called Q13, Matt Lorch, do you rule out raising taxes? Inslee,
I don't believe we should do other than what I'm suggesting, which is job creation, revenue growth, and getting people back to work.
In an interview with King 5 on November 18, 2012, Robert Mack, let me ask you, if Governor Gregoire puts forward a tax proposal and if the legislature, in its wisdom, decides that it wants to vote for and pass it, are you telling the legislature that you would veto a tax increase?
Inslee, what I'm saying is I hope to lead an effort to grow our economy so that is not necessary.
He lied and 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 lied. That's eight times. That's just the eight times that are written down here. He did it plenty of other times. Plenty of other times he said he wasn't going to be raising taxes. Jay Inslee taxes anything that moves. And he had a budget surplus. He did it anyway because he wanted your shekels, because he wanted your money. He wanted your dinero because he is addicted to tax and spend, tax and spend, tax and spend. And now he's going to want more of it. It's $4, $8, $10, $12, $100 billion, however much he wants to solve homelessness, a problem that started on his watch, a problem that was getting better before he took office. If you go back and look at the numbers. A problem that has exploded on his watch. Now he wants even more of your money to go solve a mess that he created. Don't give it to him. Jay Inslee is more than worn out his welcome. We need somebody else in that office.